Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay and enjoyed the warm weather in Kent over the weekend. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Monday, June the 22nd. And Sir Keir Starmer has announced plans to resign as Prime Minister. Speaking outside Downing Street earlier, he said he was proud of everything he's achieved since taking over as head of the Labour Party 6 years ago. But he's confirmed a leadership contest will be held over the summer. Former Greater Manchester Mayor Andy Burnham is expected to be one of the front runners. He'll be sworn in as an MP today after winning the Makerfield by-election. Well, Lucy's been getting reaction from our local democracy reporters Simon Finlay and Robert Boddy.
So coming to you first of all then, Simon, tell me a little bit about whether this announcement today is unexpected.
I don't think it's unexpected at all. If you look at the last sort of few months, probably even since before Christmas, as soon as the whole Mandelson thing had erupted, that his judgment was being called into question. And that just sort of goes alongside all the U-turns on the winter fuel allowance, family farm tax, two-child benefit caps, etc. It had an inevitability about it for several weeks now.
What's next then?
Well, it really depends on whether Andy Burnham becomes Prime Minister unopposed, or do they have to fight an election? And will he or will he not decide to call a snap general election to sort of, you know, give himself some credibility and viability as a new leader?
Obviously, Reform are a big threat now, which they perhaps weren't at the last general election. How much of a sort of sense is that going to play into things of how the Labour Party decides to sort of go forward?
Well, it's a good question, because Reform has sort of been stuttering slightly in the polls lately. And there's also the looming threat of the further, even harder right party, Restore Britain, under the former Reform MP Rupert Lowe. If they start taking 3 to 7% of the popular vote, and they can get enough candidates in enough areas for a general election, you know, it might eat into the possibility of that predicted Reform government. So there's all to play for. It really depends on whether Andy Burnham gets a popularity boost from being the new leader, because he's not Starmer, and will that shore up some of the popularity in the constituents, which would perhaps be lost if they hung on till 2029.
So coming to you then, Robert, what do you think is going to happen next in terms of Labour leadership?
Well, I think, like Simon, that West Streeting kind of has stalled. He was kind of a contender previously. I think the writing is kind of on the wall. After the Makerfield by-election, Andy Burnham got something like 54% of the vote. I mean, this massive sort of win for him. So I think the writing's on the wall that he is going to be the next Prime Minister. I'm sceptical of the idea of him calling a general election. I do think he will see a popularity boost, you know, his not Starmerism. I think a big problem that Starmer has faced for a long time is, frankly, a lack of charisma, a lack of ability to sort of, when they make a misstep or a U-turn, as they have done on several occasions, you know, if you're a bit charming and you can sort of spin it in the right way, you can kind of get away with it. I think Starmer just doesn't have that. Whereas Andy Burnham, I think, has more of that. Whether that kind of translates when he's actually Prime Minister will be another story. And so I think he will... I don't think he'll call a general election to sort of give himself legitimacy. I think his charisma, if he can harness it, will sort of, people will be like, we don't want more rigmarole, we don't want more fuss, we just want somebody to get on with it. And from Andy Burnham's perspective, the last time somebody tried to sort of go for an election to sort of bolster their position, Theresa May in 2017, she ended up losing her majority. So I think that Burnham will not want to do that.
There's also a problem that Andy Burnham is going to become Prime Minister. Now, he hasn't had time to fashion a manifesto or any sort of work through policy ideas that maybe you would do in 5 to 10 years of opposition. He has literally walking in through the door with things written down on the back of a bus ticket, and that's going to be his problem.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I agree with you on that. He will face exactly the same problems as Starmer. I think we shouldn't underestimate, though, that he's a new packaging, and he can sort of say, oh, this is different now. And that, I think, will carry him a decent way. How far, I don't know.
But he's not coming into government on a manifesto that has been sort of, you know, he's going to have to work through much of the policy making that has already been announced and that got Labour elected in 2024. So what does he do? I mean, this is the problem. What you do if you think that you've got a bounce in the polls and your popularity is higher, is that you go to the country and say, okay, you decide. And what they might do is they might get rid of a lot of the old Starmer MPs and get more sort of Burnham-friendly ones. And that way you get people who are more on message in terms of what, you know, Burnham might want to achieve, particularly on things like immigration or maybe on welfare, the things that really have let Starmer down pretty badly.
And you'll be able to read reaction from Kent's MPs by heading to kentonline.co.uk. We'll bring you more reaction to this breaking story in tomorrow's episode of the podcast.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a man's been arrested after armed police were called to reports of someone carrying a weapon outside a coffee shop in Herne Bay. The suspect is said to have approached a person on the high street yesterday evening. Officers seized an imitation firearm and a 30-year-old is being questioned. Elsewhere, a man has been detained on suspicion of manslaughter following the death of a woman on a small boat in the Channel. Police were called to Dover's Western Docks on Saturday afternoon. A 32-year-old from Syria is in custody. Authorities say they're working to confirm the woman's identity and contact her family. Now, with another Amber Heat health alert in force across Kent, a campaign is underway to keep us safe by the water. Temperatures are expected to hit the mid-30s this week, and it's feared some could head to a river to cool off. There are also concerns about people going out to drink and watch the World Cup. Well, I've been speaking to two volunteers from Kent Search and Rescue. First, let's hear from Rowan Spears.
We would be called out by either Kent Police or Kent Fire and Rescue. And you know, they would obviously deploy first. As I said, we're all volunteers, so we would be, you know, deploying from home, things like that, from work maybe. And we would be attending. We've got some specialist equipment. Help would, you know, look underwater and scan larger areas. So we would attend, work alongside those two, as I said, and you know, bring some additional skills and things like that. So it's a very kind of collaborative approach.
Absolutely. And you mentioned there that obviously there have been some quite high profile cases that some of them have ended very sadly. I mean, it must be quite a tough time for the volunteers when they're called out to searches like that.
It is. It's, you know, it is a difficult job that we do sometimes. Obviously, we hope that it doesn't get to that kind of stage. But we are also supported as a volunteer group by kind of mental health first aiders. And we have a group of practitioners that work alongside us or work with us just to ensure, you know, our own welfare as well. So, you know, we look out for people in the community in Kent, but we're also looking out for ourselves at the same time.
Stuart Kenny is also a volunteer for the charity.
Alcohol and water do not mix in any way, shape or form. If you look back, this all started as a result of a search we did for, if I can say it, Pat Lamb back in 2014. Very high profile, covered by yourselves. And it was the year after we started Safe and Dry. And it started off with, I got to acknowledge an ex-member called Phil Morris, who came up with the idea. But we had flyers and leaflets and beer mats in pubs, just bringing people to town. What we're saying is, don't go down by the water. Don't be near the water. You might fall in. And if you've had some party going beverages, you might find it even harder to get out. And effectively, up to then, those incidents were happening every single year in either Maidstone or somewhere like Rochester. And so this is where the original campaign was, in both those locations. We centred on Maidstone because the proximity of pubs and clubs to the water right there at the bottom of the high street, which leads to the railway station and the ways to go home, is what makes it such a vulnerable spot. So just being there, we're not lifeguards, We're there to bring awareness and go, that water's dangerous. And if we see someone wobbling around, heading in its direction, we'll encourage them to go in a different direction, and say, oh, we've been doing this. This will be our 11th year, I believe. I've got the numbers right. And hopefully it keeps working. We just keep keeping people away from that water that don't want to be near it.
I was very heavily involved in covering the Patlam story, which was just tragic. And I think the campaign afterwards as well was about encouraging friends, wasn't it, who maybe hadn't had a drink to make sure that their mates got home safely. Is that still part of it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's all it, and interestingly, it's sort of females tend to go home together in groups. Males not so in my experience, and maybe I've misread that. But and I think that's where part of the problem lies is that it's very easy to be out of sorts. And you think about it, you come down to the bridge by the Medway, you wander down the steps, you think it's a lovely summer's evening. There's no railing between the river's edge and the water. And the drop isn't very high, but if you're in the water, scrambling out is very, very difficult, if not impossible for most people. That's what makes it so dangerous. But yeah, young men can be found solo quite often, therefore, and they're drawn to water more. But we're say, fortunately, we haven't had, you haven't covered anything like that in the last 11 years, which is, touch wood. Hopefully that just keeps going on like that.
Kent Online reports.
This is one of our most read stories on the website today. A Gravesend woman who died in hospital after being found unresponsive in her garden has been described as an amazing mum. Marion Tinklin worked as a carer and was discovered by a friend who'd been staying with her. Neighbours have set up a GoFundMe to help her son cover funeral costs. An inquest is due to take place in October. A Kent man who assaulted a fellow patient when they tried to intervene as he argued with a GP receptionist has been fined. Nicholas Dono pushed the victim to the floor at Oakland's Health Centre in Hythe. The 40-year-old from the High Street in Dover admitted common assault. He's been told to pay £220 and compensation. Tributes are being paid to a local nurse who's died suddenly at the age of 57. Julie Jones was the Deputy Director for Urgent and Emergency Care at NHS Kent and Medway. She's been described as passionate and kind by family and colleagues. Next on today's episode, and the boss of a Kent pub chain says hospitality businesses could be the key to tackling youth unemployment if they get help from the government. Phil Thorley runs a number of sites in Thanet and is backing a campaign calling for VAT to be reduced from 20% to just 10%. He's told us tax relief would enable them to employ people and boost the economy.
Pubs and hospitality is the lifeblood of this country. And when you saw it after COVID, what was the first thing everybody wanted to do after being locked down? They wanted to go and see their friends and family in a pub. And let's extend that to restaurants and coffee shops as well, because we're not all about alcohol. We're about socialising. That's what we want people to come out for. But now, national minimum wage has been rising dramatically for the last 5 or 6 years, started by the Tory government, I've got to say. So it's not all about the Labour government. It's about the last two governments have pushed that up. They've pushed up the rates for young workers to come through, and national insurance has raised dramatically. Now, we're already the most heavily taxed industry. We're the most heavily taxed country in Europe, and it can't continue. We've got pubs closing every week. And that's not what we want. It's not what our public wants. However, we need to have some help from the government to keep these people employed. You know, they're talking about they want something to kickstart the economy. Hospitality kickstarts the economy. But when you make the rates for employing young people the same as a fully grown adult, or as near as damn it, guess what? Young people are not getting employed. So they're saying, what is the? How can we cure this? Let us do it. Drop the VAT rate for hospitality. Look at those rates for young people, because I think that they've become too close to full adult rates. And therefore, we would get more young people employed and we would employ more people in general.
The campaign called VAT's the Problem is being led by celebrity chef Tom Kerridge. They're hoping to get more than 1 million signatures and take their petition to Downing Street.
Kent Online reports.
A mum and her three children children have been forced into temporary accommodation after the ceiling of their home in Maidstone collapsed more than 6 months after she reported a water leak. Moesha Lee Murphy notified the council about the problem at the property on West Park Road last November. The authorities say they're aware of ongoing works to be completed and they will cover removal costs. A Kent mum is worried her home's been targeted with a catapult or air rifle after finding a pellet hole in the window of her daughter's bedroom. Beth Crocker discovered the damage when she went to put her seven-year-old to sleep at their home on Swallow Road in Larkfield. It's been reported to police, who've encouraged her to ask neighbours about CCTV or doorbell footage. A parking ban could be introduced in Faversham town centre following complaints from business owners and shoppers. Restrictions have been suggested for Court Street around the Guildhall, which did used to have double yellow lines. While drivers with blue badges and delivery vehicles would be exempt, a consultation's due to take place. A Gillingham company that helped provide work experience for students has gone into liquidation. Dom Education Limited had been contracted to find placements for Year 10s at Holcombe Grammar in Chatham. Pupils who'd paid £55 for the service were then told parents would have to make alternative arrangements. Bosses say the decision to cease trading was extremely difficult. Now we're going to head to Dover next, where our reporter has been hearing how the high street is thriving. While there are empty shops in other parts of the town, a stretch of the A256 is home to a growing number of independent businesses, community projects and creative ventures. The high street sits on Dover's one-way system and can often feel overshadowed by the main shopping precinct around Market Square. Well, Sam Lennon has been speaking to Nina Telegina, a local resident and strategist for Artist Dover, which opened last October in a former vape shop.
I think one of the biggest ideas behind this business was to give Dover, especially this part of Dover, a creative space. There's not enough space for people to come and just do a bit of free creative play in the town. And a lot of the programming that exists is for kids, and there wasn't really space for grown-ups. We really needed one. So the idea was to create community space where people could come. And of course, this is a part of the street that really does need it as well.
When you say this, are you talking about the high street going up from Ladywell?
That's right. I am talking about the high street going up
from Ladywell. Up to the Eagle Tavern.
Yeah, that's right. Anything past the Maison Dieu, I think people just forget it exists up here.
That's very true. You think that this place is overlooked a bit because there's been a lot of investment in the precinct, the pedestrian precinct.
There has. And honestly, that's wonderful. It's really great to see the investment there bearing fruit. And I think as a result now, here further up at the high street, we are ready for more investment and more attention, really, to the street.
Do you think it's a bit neglected? You think it's a bit neglected, this high street? Or?
Yeah, I figure it is a little bit neglected.
Forgotten.
Rather, yeah. And it has a lot of potential.
We can also hear from Anita Luckett, who's co-chairman of community organisation Dover Big Local.
So Dover Big Local is well not a word, but we look after welfare and education and wellbeing for people in Dover who might need to access our services.
Right. I'm here because there's a new art centre and they're looking to sort of help regenerate the high street. I mean, what is it like working the high street? Is it would you say it's all fine, or is it a bit overlooked compared with the town centre, which has a lot of attention?
We found being here very beneficial, but we've been here for a long time.
How long?
So we've been in the centre for 12 years now. So when we started, we found we needed a hub so people could find us. And this has been a very affordable place for us to be because the rents are obviously rather lower than they are in the town centre. But also there's a group of tenants here who support the community in various ways. So it's quite useful to all of us that people come to one service and find another.
Does this part of the high street hold its own, or does it need any some sort of regeneration?
I think it would benefit from some help with the state of the buildings. So I know that there are Dover District Council grants available for a certain amount as a match funding to investment for tenants. But obviously not all tenants are in a situation to take advantage of that if they don't have the funds for the match funding. And certainly there's a need for age-appropriate repairs. Be done age-appropriate repairs.
Buildings are too old.
Because the buildings are... No building's ever too old. You're always a custodian of a building. And a lot of the stock is Victorian Edwardian stock. which is often damaged by inappropriate material repairs by inexperienced people. So people will make repairs with modern building materials when repairs should be done in lime and so on, so that the building can breathe. And those repairs that were perhaps done 20 years ago, 30 years ago, are now paying back in terms of damp and problems with roofing, roof situations and so on, because they weren't done correctly in the first place.
And if so, what's your verdict on the high street living working? Is it all okay?
I think it can always use help, but this area of the high street offers a lower rent and flexible buildings that benefit people who are in the start-up stage that perhaps can't afford premises in the town centre. Although obviously we do have a problem with empty shops in the lower town centre near the market.
The precinct, yeah.
In the precinct.
I haven't noticed any here.
No, because they're lower rents. And so I think people can afford to set their business up here and will tend to stay here because it's an affordable situation.
And you can read Sam's report in full and let us know what you think about Dover by leaving a comment. A large piece of art could be installed outside a new Lidl on Sheppey. The idea is to have three steel pillars in front of the store, which is being built off the Calstead Corner roundabout in Queenborough. If approved, they would mirror ones already in place at the Sheerness Dockyard Church and reflect the island's naval history. And finally, organisers of a food and drink festival in Ashford say it'll have more than 40 stalls and live entertainment. The event is in its third year. It will take place in the Upper and Lower High Street, Elwick Place, Bank Street and Middle Row next weekend. Council bosses say the town has a growing reputation for outstanding local producers and manufacturers.
Kent Online Sport.
Football First Up and Gillingham have completed the signing of a new defender. Liam Gordon, who's played all of his professional career in Scotland to date, has moved to Priestfield. The 30-year-old centre-back joins the Gills on a two-year deal after leaving Motherwell. He's been telling fans why he made the decision.
When Gillingham came knocking, it was a move that really interested me. And then after speaking with the manager and the rest of the coaching staff on a Zoom call, I came off it with a great feeling about the place. I felt like it was a place that I could genuinely go and make that next step in my football career. So I'm obviously delighted to be here, albeit a rough night with 2 hours sleep coming down here early doors, but I wouldn't have it any other way. I'm delighted to be here. It was a big move for me, but I just felt at the time of my career and the way everything was, I just felt it was that next step to go give England a try. It's something that I've been close to before and I've never really just left the nest, as they would say. But no, I just felt like this was the right moment for me to go and test myself down here. It's a country I've always admired for their football. I was always a big part of me wanting to come down here. With me, you know you're going to get 110%. I'm all in or nothing. I'm honest, I'm hardworking. Like to think I'll have a bit of quality here and there. I'm a defender first and foremost. And ultimately, I just want to be a player out on that pitch that the fans will be proud to see wearing the colours of their team. I'm sure I can do that.
And in cricket, it was all to play for on the final day of Kent's County Championship match against Middlesex. The hosts were due to resume on 233 for 7 in their second innings at Canterbury today. That was a lead of 206 runs. Middlesex were yet to have their second go with the bat. We'll keep you updated on the final result of that game. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the website, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.